This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're listening to Travelogue, our latest podcast where we get you the best trends of what's happening in the travel industry. Today, I've stepped out of my studio at Worli and I've come to the plush Marriott International Corporate Office to meet Neeraj Govil. He is just promoted, I hear, as Senior Area Vice President of South Asia at Marriott International. Welcome to the show, Neeraj.
Thank you, Jerome, and thank you for coming to our plush office as you defined it. But it's great to have you here.
Thank you. So let's start with what exactly is happening in the travel industry, today's latest trends, or what do we see people liking, what are people traveling to when they have the money?
So we're seeing the industry change at a fairly rapid pace. Mm-hmm. If you look at most trends today, they're kind of driven by urbanization, globalization, and now the latest being the whole digitization, as we like to call it. And I think the travel industry, and more specifically the luxury segment of that industry, is impacted by similar trends. Mm-hmm. And I say this because in the recent past, Marriott International worked with Skift Research, mm-hmm. and conducted a research paper and a survey where they interviewed over 5,000 luxury consumers. Mm-hmm. And essentially, the findings sort of indicated that when you look at the luxury segment today, most consumers continue to say that luxury has been and will continue to be defined by the timeless values of elegance, detail, and quality and comfort. But there is another segment of people, increasingly growing segment of folks now, that are saying that luxury means something very different to them than it meant to their previous generations. Okay. And essentially, when you look at it today, the talk is around the subject of sustainability. Mm-hmm. There is talk around luxury being a launchpad for self-actualization. Okay. That's one of the things the research threw up. Mm-hmm. And what it means by this is that luxury consumption today has much more to do with enjoying an experience.
Right.
And is focusing increasingly on physical and mental well-being. But essentially, it's about the concept of personal fulfillment that's sort of coming to the fore. You know, our mission as a company is to be the world's favorite travel company. Okay. And part of what we do through Bonvoy, which is our loyalty program that we rejigged and relaunched earlier this year, is to make sure that we create very compelling personalized services and experiences for our customers. A spin-off of that is called Bonvoy Moments, where customers can actually experience something that's uniquely theirs, mm-hmm. when they stay at our hotels, mm-hmm. Using the program, of course. Mm-hmm. And I think the other trend we're starting to see is that technology is getting increasingly imbibed into the guest experience.
Okay.
Right. We use technology now to wow and surprise and delight customers by actually, for example, tapping into their social media feeds.
Okay.
And then looking at where they are during the stay and then creating a wow and surprise moment. So there's a lot of that coming in. Technology has to be seamless, it has to work, it has mm-hmm. to be scalable, and it has to be an enhancer to the experience.
Right.
So essentially, when you look at it, there is a lot to be done in that space, and we continue to invest heavily mm-hmm. in technology to make sure we can serve our consumers mm-hmm. better in this space.
Wow, quite interesting there. So now that, you know, people do have a little bit of money to spend on a nice, luxurious experience, currently there's a slowdown. Is there a slowdown in luxury travel?
So if you look at our brands today, we operate 5 brands in the luxury space in India. We operate the St. Regis, mm-hmm. the Ritz-Carlton, mm-hmm. JW Marriott, the Luxury Collection, and the W. These are the 5 brands we have we have in India. And while there appears to be, appears, I'll say at this point, a slowdown in travel, I don't see this disproportionately impacting the luxury brands. In fact, the luxury brands continue to drive a premium over most segments.
Okay.
Now, it could be because of the locations they're in. It could also be because of the appeal they have to the consumer. And I like to believe it's a combination mm-hmm. of both. Mm-hmm. Right? So while there is a slowdown, I think the brands that will rebound the quickest again and kind of drive that premium mm-hmm. Are the luxury brands again, because they have the ability to flex.
Okay.
When the going's good, they can sort of deliver much better results. So there's always a consumer that's looking to this. Mm-hmm. there are consumers who are constantly aspiring to get into this space and use these brands and be affiliated with these brands, who feel a connect to these brands. Mm-hmm. So I'm fairly confident that these brands will continue to grow. There is tremendous opportunity in a market like India for brands like these.
Definitely.
And actually, when you look at it, we have a number of these opening as well. We have the Ritz-Carlton in Pune that's due to open now in October.
Okay.
And we have another Ritz-Carlton planned for Mumbai as well for next year.
Okay.
There's a JW Marriott that's planned in Bangalore for next year as well. So we'll continue to see these brands grow. We opened a luxury collection in Calcutta in the recent couple of months as well.
Okay, all right. So Neeraj, what about MICE travel? Is that picking up? Are companies sending out their executives on holidays, luxury getaways?
MICE is growing. MICE is a growing segment for us, a big segment for us. Mm-hmm. And I think MICE today, what we're seeing is that there's a large component of MICE that continues to travel inbound, mm-hmm. despite all the incentives there are now to go outbound, right. with more accessibility in right. flights, a lower GST when you actually go overseas. Mm-hmm. Despite that, there continues to be significant demand for MICE within right. India.
Okay.
This is predominantly in locations where hotels and the destinations are geared up towards catering to MICE.
Okay. Right?
So it's about getting to a hotel for a particular need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today the MICE consumer is getting more discerning because they're starting to really ask the question as to what that need is for that particular retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a health retreat, there are particular resorts that cater to that.
Exactly.
If it is about getting out and doing a brainstorming session, which involves outdoor activities
mm-hmm.
or activities within that locale, that is something that we have to identify and deliver well in advance.
All right.
So there is a growing demand. I think people are willing to pay a premium again to get the right location. We are increasingly seeing buyouts of resorts from MICE groups because okay. they want the entire facility to themselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
As and when that's possible. And for the luxury consumer in this case,
mm-hmm.
There is an increasingly an increasing amount of customization
mm-hmm.
that is involved in their experience.
Right.
They want their MICE event to mm-hmm. be very unique and very different from the previous ones.
All right. Could you cite an example? I remember last year attending an event at JW Marriott Juhu where there was this PUBG themed party. So do you get, do you have demands from consumers, these kind of demands, and how do you cater to it?
So in case of events like this, you're essentially dealing with the event organizers,
mm-hmm.
But you're also dealing with an event company that they have,
okay.
in many cases, kind of enlisted to mm-hmm. to bring home this experience,
okay.
right?
Okay.
So the hotel teams have to be very adept in understanding, again, the need, understanding who the consumer is, the end consumer is in this case,
right.
and what is the message that the company wants to deliver to the people, to the attendees there.
Right. Right.
So we have cases like this. We've done curated events in Missouri, which is a very unique location, which can do a lot of outdoor activities in the right season.
Okay.
Goa is another example where the W in Goa, for example, hosts a number of these retreats,
okay.
Which involve local activities that are brought into the guest experience. So these are definitely set to continue.
Mm-hmm.
I think as smart operators, we have to align our delivery with the needs of the consumers in these cases.
All right. People who do have all the money, do they expect around the clock butler service? I don't know, whatever they desire, and what are the demands as of now where luxury travel is concerned?
So the demands are, different brands offer different experiences, right?
Yeah.
So the butler example that you quoted is really something the St. Regis offers.
Okay.
But there are other brands that offer other experiences. I think today's consumer, what the trend we're starting to see is they want more engagement
mm-hmm.
prior to their stay. So it's not about engagement once they're at the hotels.
Okay.
There is an increasing appetite for engagement well before the stay.
Okay.
So experiences in relation to concierge, where they expect somebody in the concierge to curate their stay, especially if it's families,
okay.
Build the itinerary for them.
Okay.
Right. So they want an end-to-end solution. They want a door-to-door service.
Mm-hmm.
They want access to stuff that sort of denotes that exclusivity.
Wow.
They want their experience to be as singular as possible. And I think they usually, pampering themselves within the facilities of the resort or the hotel
mm-hmm.
is a given. But you've got to be fairly adept to ensuring you deliver it, or deliver that experience or that need or that product to the customer as and when they want it.
Okay.
I think today the lead time for something like this is increasingly short.
True.
People want to know and want to have stuff at fairly short notice, and we have to gear up to deliver that.
Right.
The other aspect that's interesting with luxury travel for the people who kind of want to go all out is they want to have these interactions with fairly senior leaders on the property. So they're talking to the kitchen, they want to talk to the executive chef, or they want to talk to the GM. So I think the expectation of these consumers is increasing with these days. Right. And there's always this need to kind of do better than the last holiday, right?
Yeah.
So you continue to reinvent the wheel here and continue to surprise and delight everyone.
Mm-hmm. All right. Pretty interesting again there. What about somebody like me, like a mid-income group person? Can he indulge in a special, like say, 5-day rejuvenation program at the Marriott? I mean, does Marriott even cater to that clientele?
Absolutely. We have a number of hotels at different price points. Now, again, everybody can have a luxury mindset. I don't think it is confined to people who have more disposable income, right? Luxury means different things to different people. For a person who may not be into it all the time, this becomes more of a treat. It becomes more of a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
And thereby, it is doubly important to make sure that person has a good time, right? So there are different price points available. There are different experiences for those. You can still go to a great hotel in one of our locations. We have a number of those now, depending on what your need is, and have a great stay over 4, 5, 6 days, whereby you can experience and enjoy all the facilities in the hotel. So the hotels are now geared up to deliver that. You may want to look for a non-peak time, because that'll help you get a better rate. It may mean you'll have to kind of go in when it's not in the highest demand in that season. But again, if you look for the right deals at the right times, when demand is off, you'll probably get a better deal. Another tip, if I may give you, you may want to use your Bonvoy points to exchange that for a stay at the hotel. So you can actually cash in your Bonvoy points, your loyalty program points, to pamper yourself and your family when you decide to visit one of our hotels.
That's pretty interesting there. I shall try that too. So Neeraj, there's a lot of talk about homestays. Is Marriott planning to come up with something like that?
So interesting topic, and definitely growing. There's more and more people talking about it. Homestays continue to be an unstructured segment in India. There are brands, obviously, which we know of that are venturing into it. From what I'm hearing, there are more traditional hotel brands now looking to launch homestay brands as well in the market. So clearly there's demand for this. And I think if you get together a compelling experience that has safety aspects built into it, this is something that definitely will do very well in India. Having said that, there is no reason for homestays and hotel stays not to coexist. I think there's a demand for all of that. Today in India, Marriott is not into this space.
Okay.
But interestingly, we launched Homes and Villas by Marriott, which is exactly what you're referring to in a number of countries in Europe and in the US. And it's clearly a segment that we believe has the legs to kind of grow. Will that come to India? I think it definitely will. Time will tell as to when. But we've got to make sure that there is the right infrastructure in place. There is the right legislation from the government in place. There needs to be a policy around this. And I think this is something that is that definitely has potential in India and can grow from here on.
All right, Neeraj, how does Marriott cater to their clients where food is concerned? You know, India is such a diverse country. I remember attending an event at the JW Marriott. There were people from the north who wanted to have North Indian food. There were people from the west who wanted pure vegetarian food. From the south, they wanted sambar. Yes, all that kind of food was available. How do you guys manage to do this?
Well, to start with, we have a phenomenal culinary team that sort of does this. I often wonder how they do it, but they seem to do a great job of it. Jerome, about 45% of our business today comes from food and beverage, believe it or not. So we operate about 350 restaurants and bars in the country. Of course, we're big on catering, and a large proportion of our revenue comes out of food and beverage. Food and beverage also builds reputation.
Right.
It is a huge reputation builder, especially in tier 2, tier 3 markets. The more we find out as we go into these markets is your reputation is made or broken by the quality of food you serve. So we're very focused on this. We've added a ton of resources now to make sure that we deliver great experiences to the customer when it comes to food and beverage. We've done a number of things in this space. We launched Shaadi by Marriott, which was a wedding curated sort of IP that we put out, which focused on making sure that weddings at our hotels were elevated in many ways, and food played a huge part of that. things we do in this case is we could go to a consumer's home and do a food tasting for them there rather than have them come to the hotel.
Wow.
Right? Because we understand that families today want everybody involved in, mm-hmm. in what the food for a particular event is going to be about. And mm-hmm. and sometimes going to their home makes it easier for everyone in the family to partake in that in that activity. Mm-hmm. But it just shows that we care. It shows that we're willing to go out and sort of do that in that space. Right. We launched Marriott on Wheels, which was a food truck that went around 8 destinations across India mm-hmm. Over a period of 3 months. And this was really highlighting the ability and the creativity we have within our tier 2, tier 3 markets. Mm-hmm. So this was mainly aimed at getting a lift to our reputation of our select hotels. Mm-hmm. And we did this in a lot of tier 2 markets across India, which had a great attraction. There was a great response to it, and something we probably continue to do again in the months and years to come.
Okay.
We've launched an IP around Masters by Marriott, whereby we bring in celebrity chefs into the country. These are typically chefs from overseas that come in, very, very high profile chefs with great pedigree, who are masters of their craft and who sort of come into a location. And while we do events for customers, the biggest plus of that is that our chefs in India get a chance to work with these guys.
All right.
But most importantly, there's a real focus at all levels within the organization on making sure that the food we serve is honest, it's authentic, mm-hmm. and it is relevant to the location. Yeah. We want our food to travel less, and we want to make sure that the pricing of food is to the market. We've continued to amplify that, and we need to continue to push that even more. But in India, food is important. It's an important part of every conversation. I've seen many an occasion where people say, I went to that particular hotel and the food is good, or the food is not good. And I think food is that conversation that happens. So we are very focused on making sure that our food and beverage reputation and the quality of chefs that we have who are driving this is right up there.
All right. Lastly, Neeraj, what do you suggest? How should people plan their itinerary? Basically, how should they ensure they make the most out of a short holiday?
Well, plan it well in advance is my first tip. Mm-hmm. Communicate the need for the holiday. Reach out to the hotel, reach out to a travel agent, tell them exactly why you're going there and what the purpose is. Mm-hmm. It'll just help us plan better and deliver a much better experience. I think a lot of people wait to get to the hotel and then talk about the need for that travel.
Right, right.
But fundamentally, it's important for the operator to understand why the person's there, what is the purpose of their visit, so then things can be curated in there. Look out for periods when the hotel is not excessively busy with other segments of business. So it's always better to kind of go in when you have other like-minded individuals or that segment of customers in the resort, because then the experience becomes more compelling in many ways.
Right.
And again, try to pick hotels which you know work for you in terms of the travel or the duration of travel specifically. Right? There are people who haven't figured out that it takes XYZ number of hours to get to a resort, and kind of when it does, they kind of get there and then they're all upset about it. So do a little more homework on that front, or call up the hotel and let them figure it out for you. But the trick here is engaging with the hotel well in advance, mm-hmm. so that the hotel teams are able to curate a great experience.
All right. Thank you, Neeraj. Really, thank you so much for these valuable insights. I'm sure our listeners would really pay heed to this.
Thank you. And thank you for having us on the show.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
All right. With that, we wrap this episode of Travelogue. In case you want to know anything about the luxury travel segment, do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.